Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here in your house this morning to worship your word and to worship all that you've given us, to be thankful for all that you've given us. We ask at this time that you open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your word so that we might be better Christians as we go forward. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Please stand.
If you remain standing for our Psalter this morning, it's found on page 847. It's also up here on the screens. Terry told me without a choir, I think Wayne will play through for the choral response. So let's read our Psalter together. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go forth weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Be to the Father Thank you, and you may be seated. That was good singing down front. I heard somebody's voice right there at the end. Yeah, that was very good. Came in this morning, I guess I got here about 10:20, and I always love coming down here. It's a beautiful church and great congregation, but as I came in through the doors, the trio was playing music, and I thought, what better way to come into church for worship on a Sunday morning than to have your ears filled with such beautiful music. So it's always a joy to be here. This time in our worship service, it's time for our prayer of thanksgiving and pardon. Do we have any joys or concerns? I know there's some printed in the bulletin that we need to bring forth at this time. Any joys or concerns? Okay. What we'll do then, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. We'll spend a couple of minutes in silent prayer, and then we'll end together with our Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be in your house this morning for worship. Thank you for all the blessings and the gifts that you bestow upon us each and every single day. Thank you for providing direction to us. We all falter and we all make mistakes, but we always know that you're there to lead us. Dear Lord, be with us as we go into the coming week. Be with our families. Be with our friends. Be with those who don't know you. Help maybe that they will find the direction that you so choose for them. Dear Lord, be with our country. Be with our leaders. Be with our military. Be with those overseas. Be with all of those who are facing the atrocities and the hardships of a government or a force that makes life so unbearable, it's even hard for us to imagine. So many times I know we're so blessed, we tend to forget about how much blessing we truly have, and we forget to come to you and praise you for all that you give us. As we enter this new spring season, dear Lord, help it be a constant reminder to us of all that you do for us and how much you truly love us as your children. Dear Lord, please hear our prayers that were lifted up to you, our joys and our concerns. We know that you'll provide an answer in your own time. Dear Lord, help us to be patient and to always be thankful. We ask this in your holy name as we pray the prayer you taught your own to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
time we'd have our children come down. I think you might have been the one singing just a few minutes ago. So pretty. He is with us every single minute of the day, even if there are some bugs. So be careful when you're sniffing the flowers, because there might be bees on them, Abel. So be careful. Can we pray together? Dear Lord, thank you so much for the signs that you give us, our flowers, our trees, the sky, the birds, and even the bugs. They're always a reminder that you're everywhere and how much you love us. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you may be seated for the reading of our scripture. Our scripture and my message this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 9, and Luke, chapter 5. Really, it's verse 1 through 11. So let me read Matthew, chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus was going down the road, he saw Matthew sitting at his tax collection booth. "Come, be my disciples," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. And then Luke 5, 9 through 11, and I'm going to read actually 1 through 11, so I don't have to go back and read it again here in just a minute. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore on the Sea of Galilee, a great crowd pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets, and you will catch many fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, we'll try again." And this time their nets were so full they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." And Miss Terry, I'm going to borrow your stand, yes. I always like coming down here. I just noticed the little box back there. I could have probably stood on that box, but... The two scriptures we just read, it made me think of how society is today. And the title of our message is Keep It Simple. And if you think about the way society is today, I went back and thought about many Christmas mornings trying to put together toys for my two boys. Almost impossible. I had the directions, but it was terrible trying to follow these directions. You think about maybe new gadgets. If you're an iPhone person or any of that technology, you realize when you buy a new phone nowadays that it comes with no instructions. You take it out of the box, and then I guess they expect us to know how to use the thing. I'm not sure. But there's no instructions with an iPhone. New technology. It's supposed to make our life easier. One good thing about technology, though, it's almost impossible to get lost anymore. I think back to when my dad used to take us on vacations. We were members of the AAA, and Dad loved it. He would go to Knoxville, go to the AAA office, and they would print one of those things called a triptych. I don't know if any of y'all remember that. Little skinny book, yeah, I see a hand go up. And you'd flip it, and if they were really nice to you at the office, they would highlight in orange or yellow. And Dad would always come back the day before, usually on Saturday. He was so proud of that triptych, and I thought, goodness gracious, nowadays Dad would probably still be getting his triptychs. My wife, bless her heart, she's got an iPhone, but she still insists on writing directions down. I've tried to show her, plug it into your phone, it'll talk to you. She does not need to be looking anywhere but on the road, but she will look down to get the directions, and I've tried to explain how easy it is. Another story about my dad, we were out hiking one time, and I can remember first time I ever saw a compass. He pulled his compass out, and Dad said, "You know, with this thing, you can never, ever get lost." And we were in the Smokies hiking, and he showed me how that red needle would always point to the magnetic north. I thought it was the neatest thing I'd ever seen. No matter which way you turn, that red needle was always going to point to where we need to go so we'd never get lost. Started thinking about all that, and I think, isn't it easier to follow somebody? In this day and age with technology that's crazy and sometimes hard to get what you need done or follow somebody, it's so much easier just to follow in somebody, behind somebody, let them lead the way. It's a whole lot easier, a whole lot less pressure. Jesus, from our scripture reading this morning, he gave two simple instructions that are still applicable today, and they're not real hard to understand. The scripture I read today, one of the directions he gave was follow me. Two simple words. Doesn't get much easier than that. We don't have to lead. Follow me. If you check, follow me, that phrase 115 times in the Bible, either follow or follow me. There's 58 verses where Jesus says, follow me. The other one is, do not be afraid. Four simple words. That's mentioned 125 times in the gospel. Back in November, our Sunday school class at Harriman United Methodist Church started a series led by Andy Stanley. It was a video series that simply entitled Follow, and it made a big difference in my life. I've told Terry before when she's come down to school and we've talked sometimes, I said, when you read the first scripture verse in Matthew where it says, Jesus said, follow me, and Matthew got up and left, I thought, goodness gracious, I couldn't do that. And I've told people before, if Jesus were to come down the steps to Midway High School and he said, Scott, it's time to go. You need to go with me. I'm not real sure I could do it. I have a hard time. Well, let me go say bye to my mom. Let me go up to my kids. They're at the elementary school. I've got things to do, but we've all read the verse, let the dead bury their dead. I am not so sure I could do that if Jesus came through the door right now. So I struggled when you read that verse in Matthew. But when you read the story in Luke, it puts my mind a little more ease. And Andy Stanley touched on this in his series about the two differences about who Matthew was writing for and who Luke was writing for. And when we look at the events going on today, especially with some of our politicians and our debates and everything that goes along, you know, it's a time to worry. It's a time to be concerned. It doesn't seem like anything simple, and it seems like fear is everywhere. So I want to take just a few minutes today to look at the instruction Jesus gave all of us, follow me, and how the first disciples, first apostles, came to be followers of Jesus, and how we can invite others. Because I don't have a doubt, if I ask you if you think you're a follower of Jesus, a Jesus follower, raise your hand. Everybody in our sanctuary this morning would probably raise their hand. I think we all consider ourselves Jesus followers. Two versions that I mentioned, one from Matthew and the other one from Luke. And it's real important to understand the differences. Matthew was a Jew, and he was writing to Jewish people who had strong practices. They understood everything a whole lot better than most people. So when Matthew writes, follow me, that was real simple. Everybody understood what was going on. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man sitting next to the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. How simple can it be? Luke, on the other hand, was a physician. When he wrote, he was explaining the story to Gentiles, and these were generally people who didn't have a lot of faith, so he had to go in a little more detail. That's why I wanted to read that whole story. Back in this day and time, a tax collector was about as bad as it could be. And I was trying to think on something we could compare a tax collector to today. If you think in a big city, in a dark alleyway, somebody who would be selling drugs to kids on the street, pretty bad in our book, I would think. That's about the same as a tax collector back in the day. Tax collectors were hired by the Roman government and were appointed, and as much money as they took in, they got to keep whatever was not owed to Rome. So people hated tax collectors, and here's Jesus walking up to Matthew, knowing what he did as a job, as a profession, and he gave him two simple words, follow me. What does Matthew do? Puts everything down and chooses to follow Jesus. Is it really that simple? Those in authority at the time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, thought it was way too simple. They had been well-versed for years and years in the historical practices of religion. They knew, or at least they thought they knew, what was going to get them into heaven. And they were very put off by the fact, here is Jesus who's saying, all you have to do is follow me. The Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, yeah, they thought it was way too easy. There were rules and there were laws that had to be followed. And throughout the Bible, if you look, everywhere Jesus goes, he always forms a relationship, especially with people who were looked down upon in society. You look at the woman at the well, you look at the beggars, you look at the tax collectors. And notice when Jesus forms a relationship with these types of people, how comfortable, how at ease he was. The people that really got a burr in their saddle were the ones who thought they were above everyone else. So Jesus, it didn't matter. He felt right at home with the tax collectors, with all sinners. Matthew 9, 10 through 11 reads, now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house of Matthew that many, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Now just picture this in your mind. After Jesus has gone up to Matthew that day and said, follow me. Well, of course, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees were with, and they were probably whispering and talking about, you know, who is this man? Well, look what he's doing. Well, now Matthew invites him back to his house, along with all his other friends, his other sinners, his other tax collectors, and they invite Jesus in. Well, the well-educated had to stay outside. They weren't invited. Of course, I'm sure they were miffed. So they're out there talking, trying to stir up trouble, and can't figure out what's going on. The Pharisees saw it and said to the other disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And this is huge because it points out that Jesus loves each and every one of us despite our sins, despite our shortcomings, despite our backslides. He loves us. He knows what's in our own hearts, and he still loves us. All he wants us to do is follow. Matthew 9:12. When Jesus heard the Pharisees talking about them, he said to them, those who are well need no physician, but those who are sick need a physician. And aren't we really all sick? Aren't we all sinners? Don't we all need help? Jesus says to the Pharisees, this is sort of like a slap in the face. When Jesus said, those who are sick need a physician, he tells the Pharisees, sends message back, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Matthew 9:13. It's not just enough to believe the right things, to say the right things, or behave the right way. Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes were proof of that. It's talking the talk. Can you walk the talk? Pharisees did that. The scribes did that. They knew what to say, how to say it, when to say it, where to say it. But the sinners were the ones who were truly lost, the tax collectors. Jesus tells us, follow me and you will be changed. And think about it, how simple it is. Other religions, just think of a religion in your mind other than Christianity. And I'll bet you every single one of those, a person must change what they're doing, how they believe, how they are, in order to be part of that religion. Jesus, though, accepts everyone. All he asks is that we follow him, and because we follow him, we will be changed. We don't need to change before we become a Christian, before we become a Jesus follower. If we would just follow him, we will be changed. No sin is too great to follow, and every single person is invited. Think about this. Being a follower, though, does have some requirements. You must be a sinner. That's a prerequisite. We're all sinners. It doesn't disqualify you to be a Jesus follower. The greatest conflicts with Jesus came with those who knew it all and were quick to point out faults in other people. Number two, being an unbeliever does not disqualify you as being a Jesus follower. Some of the earliest disciples actually struggled with this. And when you read in the gospel, even the early disciples had been with Jesus for 2 years. They'd seen miracle after miracle after miracle. The blind woman, the blind man healed. The woman at the well turning water into wine. The own disciples had seen that, but 2 years into Jesus' ministry, when he manages to walk on water, the scripture says, and they believed, referring to disciples. So even the disciples, who we hold very high, 2 years before they believed. So being an unbeliever doesn't disqualify us from being a Jesus follower. Even Thomas, doubting Thomas, we know that. Jesus was dead, buried, and resurrected before Thomas believed. Number three, an invitation to follow is an invitation to a relationship with Jesus Christ, one that involves love. Think about a relationship that you've had that involved love. Hopefully, you're involved in one right now that involves love. But think about when you get into that relationship of love, how you did change, hopefully for the better. All right? But that's all Jesus says. If you follow me, you will be changed. You're going to act differently. You're going to think differently. You're going to be a changed person for the better. And number four, following Jesus is going to force us to focus on I am as opposed to a pointing where other people are not. Because if we truly follow Jesus, we know we're a sinner. We're going to be awakened to that. And that is going to open up in our mind and our hearts our shortcomings. So we've got enough sin. We only need to be focused on ourselves, not on others. Sometimes that's hard to do. Luke's version provides a little more detail. I want you to listen to this because this is what put my mind at peace when I read Luke 5:1-11. And think about what Simon Peter went through. Simon is there along with his other people, and they've been fishing all day, all night long. They didn't fish during the day during this time because when it got hot, all the fish at the bottom of the lake or the sea would go to the bottom where it's cool. So fishermen during this time cast their nets at nighttime. They fished all night long. As the sun went down, the fish would come to the surface, and it made it a whole lot easier to catch fish. So probably in midday, the fishermen are cleaning their nets, getting everything ready for the next day when Jesus walks up. And Simon Peter's there. He's cleaning his nets. And everywhere Jesus went, he did a lot of speaking. So following Jesus begins with listening, with hearing. When you read Luke 5:1-11, Jesus asked Simon Peter to do something he had done 1,000 times before, which was fish. Simon Peter knew that. Jesus just said, hey, I want you to take me fishing. Jesus also asked him to do something differently than he had ever done before. He wanted him to fish during the day as opposed to night. Now, you think about this scenario with Simon Peter. He probably knew those in his community, and he probably struggled. Here's this teacher. Here's this man they call Jesus. He's just walked up. He wants to go fishing with me, and he wants me to go during the day, and everybody knows you don't fish during the day. He probably had through his mind, what are my friends going to think about me? They're going to think I'm crazy. I've gone insane. Here's this guy, and he's telling me to do something, and I know it's wrong. I know it's not going to work. So, you know, think about the situation Simon Peter was in. I was talking to Jonathan just a few minutes before church started, and what was that quote, Jonathan? Because I said, that ties in perfectly. When was the last time you did something for the first time? And I'll bet this applied to Simon Peter because he had never tried to fish during the day. So you got all these people following Jesus. Jesus is telling Simon Peter to do something he's never done. He's going to do it for the first time. The pressure's on him. I mean, you can almost feel the emotion. Jesus could have made this real simple for Simon Peter. He could have told him, said, listen, we don't have to go fishing. We don't have to go during the day. Just follow me, because let me show you. Let me show you what's going to happen if you become a Jesus follower. And I don't know if you can see that. I probably should have given this, but and I'll walk it up here. This is a picture of St. Peter's Basilica. You know, Jesus could have taken the easy way out. If you're not familiar with St. Peter's Basilica, a massive, massive Christian church in the Vatican City in Rome. And, of course, it's St. Peter's burial underneath this church, but a beautiful, beautiful church designed by Michelangelo. Yeah, Jesus could have walked up and said, let me tell you something, Simon Peter, you're a fisherman. You follow me. It's not going to be easy, but this is how you're going to be remembered. You're going to have one of the most revered churches in the entire world. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus asked Simon Peter to listen, to hear what he's saying, to be inconvenienced just a little bit and do something a little differently than he'd done before over 1,000 times, which was fish. What does Peter do when Jesus asks him this? He trusts Jesus. In Luke 5:5, he refers to him as master or rabbi. But when you read verse 5:8, they have gone out, they fished, they've brought all this in. Actually had to get another boat to help bring in this load of fish they caught during the day. Simon Peter doesn't know anybody other than Jesus to start with as a master or a rabbi, but in verse 5:8, he refers to Jesus as Lord. He falls on his knees and he knows what has happened. There's no question in his mind he's going to be a follower of Jesus. Peter took a small step. He followed instructions. Peter listened. Peter was inconvenienced, but he took a small step and became ready to follow. So how does that apply to each and every one of us today? Are we, or as we follow, where are you in your following of Jesus? Because we're all on the same journey with Jesus. We want to spend eternity in heaven. As we follow Jesus, maybe it's time we take the next step. And really, there was about four steps in that story from the book of Luke. Maybe you're at step one, maybe you're at step two, maybe you're at three, maybe you're at step four. But the story in Luke about Simon Peter can apply to each of us when we sit and look at these steps. So imagine in your mind, compared to your life as a follower of Jesus, where you might be. Number one, are you sitting and listening to Jesus? Again, as Jesus came up, Simon Peter was cleaning his nets, and he was listening as Jesus preached. Crowd was so big, Jesus says, can I borrow your boat and push out just a little bit so I can get away from the crowd? So maybe in your following of Jesus, you're on that first step where you feel comfortable, where you sit and listen. Or maybe it's time to take that next step. Maybe you're here where you take him fishing. That was a little inconvenience for Simon Peter. You weren't supposed to fish during the day. His nets had already been cleaned in preparation for that night. But Simon Peter agrees. He lets Jesus take, he loads his nets back up. So he has been inconvenienced. Maybe you're on step number three. You actually take him fishing. That's a big decision when you do something differently, because Simon Peter had done it over 1,000 times before. And you think about it, we get in our own little box. We do the same thing over and over every day, what's comfortable for us. So maybe in your following of Jesus, it's time to be inconvenienced just a little bit, to do something differently. It could be making a change in your relationship for the good, maybe doing something differently in your profession, maybe financially, but it's a decision to take another step. And finally, the fourth and ultimate step that Simon Peter did, he left his net. He told Jesus that his whole life was his, and he followed and had faith without fear. And that's a hard step. As I explained just a few minutes earlier, it's a hard step for me, I think for all of us. Faith without fear. When you imagine that, faith without fear. And we talk about what's going on in our world today. So I don't know, in conclusion, where each of you all, as we sit today, as we worship, as we go through our daily routines, where are you in your steps to follow Jesus? Are you sitting and listening? Maybe it's time to loan the boat and be inconvenienced in your spiritual life just a little bit. Maybe it's time to take Jesus fishing. Maybe it's time to make a big change in your life. Maybe you're ready to leave your net and go wholeheartedly by following Jesus. And that's something between you and Jesus. And it's something that we all deal with on every single day. So in conclusion, I just encourage you, examine where you are as you follow Jesus. Is he tugging at your heart to be inconvenienced or to make a different decision, to take a step? Invite others to follow. As we lead people to follow Jesus, it is so simple. All you have to do is follow him. It's so simple. Jesus is waiting to take the lead. We don't have to take the lead, and that's the easiest part about it. All we have to do is get in right behind him. We don't need our iPhone. We don't need our triptych. Jesus will lead the way. All we have to do is follow. Just take that first step. Amen. This time we'll ask our ushers to come forward for the tithes and our offerings. Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, please accept these gifts, our tithes and offerings, to glorify your holy name and the acts that you would like to see done. In your holy name we pray. Amen. To meet you, may the wind always be at your back, may the sun shine warmly upon your face, and the rains fall softly upon your fields, and until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen.